He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, we are going to be talking about the three-seed Lakers. They took care of business. They beat a resting Houston Rockets team and now are firmly placed or entrenched or however you want to define it as the three seed in the Western Conference. I picked a really bad time to bite the crap out of my tongue. So apologies for the lisp that I'm going to be speaking with for the most of the majority of the show. This isn't going to be the full length show that it would normally be. Harrison and I are going to record tomorrow, meaning Sunday. So it's Friday night right now. Well, technically it's Saturday morning, my time, but Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, Harrison and I are going to get together and record once we know who the Lakers will be playing in the first round of the playoffs. So look forward to that. But I did want to get together with you guys, and I did want to get together and celebrate the fact that the Lakers won 50 games this year, are the three seed, will have a home court advantage in the first round of these playoffs, at least. And you know what? Just get together and enjoy it, because, you know, every so often it's nice to just kind of get together, smell the roses, and look around at the accomplishment that we all get to enjoy together. So the spread at the onset of the betting window on the Rockets Lakers game here, the Lakers Rockets game, right from the onset, it was 10.5. Lakers minus 10.5, which would have indicated at the time it was like, oh, okay, Houston's gonna rest their guys. And obviously the Lakers cleared that very easily. And then we came to find out in the run up to the game that the Rockets were in fact going to rest most of their guys. I think of the Rockets starters, you had Jalen Green play 15 minutes. Jabari Smith didn't play in this one. Tari Eason didn't play in this one. Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, they didn't play in this one. Why am I blanking on Brooks? This is actually going to piss him off, the fact that I can't remember which Brooks it is. I'm doing a Phoenix Suns thing right now. But Dylan Brooks, yeah. Dylan Brooks didn't play in this one too. I'm going to keep that in. I'm not going to edit that out. But Dylan Brooks also didn't play in this one. Steven Adams didn't play. The Rockets just basically said, you know, all right, Lakers, enjoy your three seed. And the Lakers at first, to those of you who watched the game, at first it was like, hey, we aren't actually going to do the thing, are we? Where it's, I think it was 17-12 when JJ Redick called timeout, and you kind of look up and you're like, come on, man, please don't make us sweat out this game. But fortunately for the Lakers, they went on a run almost immediately after that. They got their shit together and were able to take care of business against, again, an extremely shorthanded Rockets team that is resting up as the 2 seed in the Western Conference. So, yeah, we'll talk about, this game, as best we can, given how weird the circumstances were. And we'll talk about the ramifications of this game on the standings and who the Lakers will be looking forward to potentially playing in the first round of the playoffs. I'll answer a couple of questions and then we'll get up out of here and let you guys enjoy the first parts of your weekend. So as far as the game itself, it was a weird one, right? When one team just doesn't really play anybody and the other team plays basically everybody, at least for parts of the game, it does kind of lead to a weird vibe. But the Lakers, you know, they started their normal starting five. Austin, Luka, LeBron, Rui, and Jackson started the game. Rui played 32 minutes, which I found interesting given the circumstances that this game was played in. LeBron played 22 minutes, did appear to tweak that groin. JJ Redick said after the game that he thinks LeBron will be fine. LeBron has a full week at least to recover, which makes me feel a little bit better about his being fine. Luka played 31 minutes, scored 39 points in those 31 minutes. It was pretty clear. He was like, we are not playing that game in Portland in a situation where we need to win it. Austin Reeves played 33 minutes. He scored 23 points. It's just really nice that those three guys, Luka, LeBron, Austin, can just, you know, so consistently and easily score 70, 80, whatever points between the three of them. Luka had 8 rebounds and 7 assists to go with those 39 points. Austin had 7 rebounds and 6 assists to go with his 23 points. LeBron dished out 8 assists and grabbed 4 rebounds in his own right. So those guys look pretty damn good. Again, we'll see how LeBron's groin reacts, but based on his kind of playfulness on the bench, I would say LeBron's going to be okay. The other guy who played, I thought, incredibly well in this one was Dorian Finney-Smith. Every time I looked up, he was hitting a 3. He scored 18 points on 6 of 9 from the field, 6 of 8 from 3-point range for Dorian here. He also had 3 steals in the game. And then from there, you get into the, you know, Jared Vanderbilt scored 8 points in 19 minutes. You had Gabe Vincent not score in 21 minutes, yet still somehow lead the way in terms of plus minus. That's a hilarious number. And then you get into the garbage time minutes. Bronny got into the game. Lakers fans loved that. But overall, you know, I thought that the Lakers pretty easily created the kind of shots that we are kind of associating with the Lakers offense at this point. I think Luka is moving really well. He's moving so well at this point that he got up and tried to and attempted a dunk during a stoppage in play. He missed the dunk because he no longer gets up for those kinds of things. But he at least attempted it. Excuse me. It is 12:21 my time. But overall, in terms of what the Lakers needed to do and what was riding on this game, it was good to see that the Lakers took it very seriously. At least after that first time out from JJ Redick to remind them to take this game seriously. And now their reward is the three seed, which, we'll talk about here in a second. You know, not the best clumping of teams that is their reward here, but, that's kind of how it turns out in this Western Conference. So the Lakers currently sit at 50-31, 17 games back of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are sitting at 67-14. The Houston Rockets sit at 52-29. That's where this is one of those moments where you look and you're like, man, they really lost a couple to the freaking Jazz and Spurs and the Nets and the Pistons and so on and so forth. Just win a couple of those games and you're sitting in the 2 seed, where your reward would potentially be you know, any of the 4 teams of Minnesota, Memphis, Sacramento, and Dallas. As it stands, though, as the Lakers currently sit 3rd, you're looking at Denver currently resides in the four seed. They won tonight. And well, basically all the Western Conference teams won tonight. Clippers won, Golden State won, Minnesota won. Memphis lost because they were playing the Denver Nuggets. So Memphis is now situated at the eight seed. And then you have the Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, and Timberwolves all fighting to stay out of the play-in. I'm not going to go into all of the, you know, potential iterations of the Western Conference playoffs, but the grouping of teams that the Lakers are looking at playing are the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Timberwolves. And I think of those teams that I would most like to see, I can't believe I'm saying this, and Harrison, if you're watching, God damn it, you were right. I think I'd most want to see the Nuggets in the sixth seed, if at all possible, and it is possible. The Timberwolves, I would probably say come next, then the Clippers, then the Warriors. It does appear that the Warriors seem most likely, they are the most likely team that the Lakers could potentially face in that first round of the playoffs, in which case that loss to the Timberwolves that felt league mandated certainly looks a certain way at this point. But yeah, as the weekend goes along, the only thing that matters right now is the fact that the Lakers sit third in the conference. They did what they needed to do, and they will have home court advantage against whoever it is that they're going to be playing. It's just a bit of a bummer that that's the grouping, that Memphis fell so far down the standings that they are not a team that the Lakers are going to be able to play. And then you have the Kings and the Mavericks. You knew that those guys weren't really options either. But it would have been nice if the Grizzlies had won like one or two more games earlier in the season and could maybe reside in the sixth seed in this spot, but it doesn't look like that's how it's going to play out. And you're looking at potential series against the Nuggets, against the Clippers, against the Warriors, or against the Minnesota Timberwolves, all of whom present their own different challenges. So we'll see how those series play out. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on from the potential, look, you're right. I don't know if it's live. I don't know if that's how you spell it here. George asking any news if they will upgrade Koloko or Jemison. We haven't seen either of those guys in a long time. I would be pretty surprised if they did. But no, This is the point to make here. Celebrate the good times. Let's enjoy the season. And you know what? You're absolutely right. We came into this year with what looked like the remnants of an era, right? We looked like we were basically going to just kind of ride off into the sunset. With, I don't know if this is a word that I'm all that comfortable using for it. I'm going to anyway. But it was fairly underwhelming. The LeBron AD era, they won a championship, but it wasn't what we thought it was going to be at the onset of that era. And we came into the season and, you're going into the season with a rookie coach. You have Rob Pelinka talking at the beginning of the season about how there's this focus on internal growth and this sight towards the future. And it's just very clear that the Lakers just ran out of patience for the LeBron and AD era, and they were going to keep their powder dry for whatever came next. And at the onset of the season, I was really concerned about how that would look long-term, how it would go. And given the fact that they didn't find a trade partner for D'Angelo Russell before the season, and given the fact that like they just didn't accomplish anything that you were hoping to accomplish coming into the season. So it's just like, okay, I guess we'll all watch this movie and we'll know how it's going to end regardless, but let's just enjoy it, I guess, or try to enjoy it. And then the season starts, and they began the season with a rookie coach in J.J. Redick. And you're saying, all right, well, we have to have some patience here, inherently speaking. So we'll see how that goes. But it's kind of hard to have patience when you have a LeBron and AD combination that is clearly aging. They start the year with D'Angelo Russell starting alongside Austin Reeves. And they're scoring okay, but they can't stop a nosebleed. So you're watching that and you're like, yeah, I've watched that TV show. It's like post Steve Carell Office. It's like the bones are still there, but honestly the show's not very good. And then JJ makes the move and benches D'Angelo Russell and brings Max Christie into the lineup. And you're saying, all right, this looks more like a serious basketball team. There is balance between offense and defense on the perimeter. There's athleticism. There's physicality. There's give a bleep. All right, there's something to work with here. And that was the next chapter of this Lakers season. And that was a fun chapter. You know, I it was still pretty clear that that team wasn't really going to figure into championship contention, which was still kind of frustrating because you still had LeBron, you still had Anthony Davis. But it was you're moving in the right direction when they were starting Austin and Max in the backcourt and D'Angelo Russell was coming off of the bench. And then you're sitting there and you're I kept on hearing they're going to do something. They're going to go out and get a wing. And for weeks it was, yeah, it seems like they're in on Dorian Finney-Smith, maybe Cam Johnson. His price is really high. But as soon as Dorian's price dips below a first rounder, look for the Lakers to try to swoop in there. And lo and behold, they do that. So they swap out D'Angelo Russell. They bring in Dorian Finney-Smith. They completely alter the way that that team is kind of wired. And wow, this team looks a little bit like that 2020 title team. And then obviously, a couple games later, we get this dropped in our laps. Yeah, that guy shows up. Luka Doncic is a Laker. I really think that the experience that the Lakers had, the experiences, plural, that the Lakers had are worth mentioning here, where they spent 3 days together in Oklahoma City and then follow that up right away with going to Dallas and being there for Luka and winning there in Dallas for Luka. And you know, you look at this team and just in terms of vibes, man, it feels it. My dad has a phrase, because he's an idiot, but my dad has a phrase where he's like, yeah, this team not really giving me fuzzies, not really giving me warm fuzzies inside, you know. And he'll say that about the Dodgers, he'll say that about the Lakers, and we'll talk on the phone, and I'll ask him, hey, how you feeling about whatever, and not really feeling, not really getting the fuzzies. And The funny thing about my dad is he is historically awful with if or when the teams are giving him the fuzzies. The whole 2019-2020 season, not really giving me the fuzzies. And I just kept on telling him, I was like, Dad, I think they're really good. I think this team is really good. I think they have a chance. I don't know. And then like the Dodgers, you know, they're good in the regular season, but not really giving me the postseason fuzzies. This team is giving me some of those fuzzies. This team is interacting on the sideline. You see LeBron messing with Austin on the sideline after Austin has that M1. Funny story. We're sitting there in the scrum, and I'm sure it got picked up on Spectrum or whatever. But we're sitting there in the scrum in Dallas, and we're talking to Austin. And Austin doesn't talk very loud, so everybody's like really kind of leaned in like this. And we're all like, and the longer that he's talking, it's like, and there's so much going on. Dorian Finney-Smith brought his, you know, everybody's interacting, and they're all talking their shit, and they're talking about who's this and whatever. So there's all this stuff going on. There's a ton of media people in the locker room. And so we're all like leaned in like this, you know, trying to pick up every single thing that we possibly can from Austin. And Austin's talking really, really quiet. And he's talking about this. He's talking about this. And we're just like, okay, Austin, could you just speak up a little bit? And as we're all leaned in like that on Austin, LeBron comes in. Jovan is on this side of me. So it's like me and it's Jovan. And then it's the wall, and LeBron is over the top. I forget if it was between me and Jovan or between Jovan and the wall, but he like comes over the top of all of us because he's a giant human being. And he's like, "Fuck yeah, Austin! Fuck yeah with that dunk!" And he's just like having a good ass time, and you know, it was just really funny to see all of this kind of come together and it really kind of reminds me of the ways that those previous championship teams would interact. And maybe it's a good times thing. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but, I'm starting to feel a certain way about this team and watching the Lakers dropped 140 points on the Rockets tonight and only gave up 109 to, you know, a team that was basically playing pickup ball. Sometimes those teams are kind of difficult to try to defend. You had Cam Whitmore go off. He scored 34 points, and then you had Reed Shepard go off. He hit 4 3 pointers. But for the most part, the Lakers, I thought in this one, took care of their business. And, I kind of think that's how I'm going to define this final chapter of the regular season, where the Lakers, in those moments where they really needed to pull out a win, they were able to over the course of the final second half of the season or so, they took care of their business. And tonight, was another example of just that. All right, let's go into some of your guys' comments here. And all right, so BC kicks it off with LeBron and Luka. LeBron being the GOAT and Luka's magic equals champs. Look, man, I don't know what even playoff level defenses are going to do. It's basically just going to be like, hope that Gabe misses. And he did tonight. And it's going to be like, hope that Dorian misses. He didn't tonight. Hope that Rui misses. Hope that Austin misses. But LeBron and Luka are going to create good looks for the Lakers offensively throughout the playoffs. And I think, like a lot of times with the NBA playoffs, the first and most important thing is you can't have something that you absolutely cannot do that another team or that other teams can take advantage of. So like with Rudy Gobert, He absolutely cannot finish inside, has not been able to finish inside, and as such has been played off of the court in various playoff situations, because it's like, go ahead, hit him on the roll, and he's either going to turn the ball over or he's going to miss his little floater because he keeps forgetting that he's 7 feet two and can jump through a building. Like with Gobert, with, you know, any number of examples in the postseason, what you cannot be is a team that has that fatal flaw that is just completely unavoidable. And then from there, the next important thing is there any kind of will that you can impose on your opponent? Any kind of identity that you could just absolutely force upon the team that you're playing against? And that Lakers 1920 bubble team, the thing with them was they were going to force their physicality and their defense and their switchability. And LeBron and AD, like, that was just, they just imposed their will on all of those teams throughout that run. And you can go through every iteration or every champion since, right? You have Nikola Jokic and his greatness in that five-man lineup, where it was Jokic and KCP and Murray and Aaron Gordon and MPJ. And when those five guys were clicking, there was just no beating those guys. The Warriors, right, where you had the death lineup from a few years ago, where KD was still healthy, and then when Otto Porter Jr. was able to stay healthy, you had another version of that death lineup. You had the you can keep on going through all the Boston Celtics. I'm not going to say anything nice about them, but you know, you can extend that version of the conversation, or that part of the conversation, as far as you want to as well. And I think here with these Lakers, with LeBron and Luka, the identity that they will carry into the postseason, they'll be able to impose that on teams. And I'm really fascinated to see to what extent they can do that, to what extent teams try to fight back by trying to play certain guys off of the court. But at the end of the day, I don't know how very many teams are going to deal with Luka and LeBron, and LeBron James being the second best player on the Lakers in a playoff setting. That is going to be super fascinating and almost impossible to deal with. Let's see. Volta Domar, are they going to sit everybody on Sunday? I would imagine so. I would imagine they'll sit almost everybody there. There's no reason for them to try to win that game in Portland. There are no reps to be gained against the Portland Trailblazers there. You've hit the 50 game mark, the 50 win mark. You're already the three seed. I would be pretty surprised if all of the key players in the playoffs, LeBron, Luka, Austin, Rui definitely won't play. Jackson, I don't think will play. Gabe might. I kind of doubt it, though, because of his injury concerns. I would be surprised if Dorian does. Like, this is, in a way, it's kind of funny that they saved the two-way guys for this kind of moment. Maybe not on purpose, but they were able to. So you'll get, like, Bronny will be out there. Goodwin will be out there. Koloko, Jemison, Len, Dalton, I would imagine, is going to get a ton of minutes. It's going to be an ugly game for that final game of the season. But you know what? The Lakers earned the ability to do just that. Jalen Farrell, writes, how are we feeling about the coaching staff, scheme, and chess match for the playoffs? Man, that's a tough question. If you combine what we see, what we've seen from JJ Redick to this point, and what Luka Doncic and LeBron James can do to control a game, I would say I feel pretty good about it. When the Lakers are disciplined enough to run their offense, which I would imagine they're going to be, and they have typically been against the better teams in the conference or in the league, they do pretty well on that side of the ball. Defensively, actually, it's going to be really interesting to see, because the Lakers have to play small ball. And if teams find ways to, you know, take advantage of that small ball while the Lakers are on defense, that's where I think we'll start to see some cracks in the armor. But overall, I would say I'm a lot more confident going into the situation than I would have thought I would be, or I would have thought that I might be at the beginning of the season. You know, so like if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, hey, the Lakers are going to be going into the postseason with this coaching staff, with this rookie head coach, what do you think about how, you know, their chances here? I'd be like, do they have enough of a talent advantage to make up for some of those hiccups, as I have the hiccups? Oh, okay, great. But yeah, I would say that I'd feel pretty to actually good. Good Lord. All right, I'm going to get out of here while I try to not have a heart attack trying to hold in these hiccups. Perfect. So, as it stands, the Lakers are the 3 seed. Between tomorrow night and Sunday night, we will find out, oh my goodness, who exactly. All right, here's what we're going to do, because this is annoying. All right, so Avery is going to explain lightning.
So why they're lightning? Because they're bowling.
Who's bowling?
The Angels.
Okay, the Angels are bowling.
And if they have a lightning, that means they have a strike.
A strike.
Yeah, and that means they have all of the points.
Okay, I like it. I like the theory. Who told you that?
Mommy.
Mommy. Good job, Mommy. All right. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
All right. I feel a lot better. I held my breath for the entirety of that clip. And, oh, my God. It's back. All right. Jalen Farrell asked, how do I feel about the coaching staff and coaching scheme and all that stuff for the postseason? I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about the coaching staff against most of the coaches in the Western Conference. As you get into potentially the NBA Finals and all that stuff, good Lord. Why am I hiccuping? But like, you know, the Ime Udoka series might get a little tricky. Dagno, I'm not really worried about him. I think he's a insurance salesman. Tyronn Lue makes me nervous, and Steve Kerr makes me a little nervous in a playoff series against JJ Redick being a rookie. So you have some of that going on. But at the end of the day, teams have to try to figure out a way to deal with LeBron James and Luka Doncic in a series. And I tend to think that that's a lot more difficult than JJ trying to adjust for some of the stuff that these other teams are going to be doing against them. All right. These hiccups are driving me nuts. I'm going to call it. Oh my gosh. I'm going to call it in a night here. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you everybody for tuning in over the course of the season. Harrison and I will be there on Sunday to break down the entire regular season and look ahead to the postseason. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Oh my gosh. And I'll talk to you on Sunday. Good Lord.